The first lesson comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shined. You have multiplied the nation, you have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest, as they are glad when they divide the spoil. For the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, you have broken, as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult, and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm will be read responsively. It can be found in your bulletin. It's Psalm 96. Oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth.
Sing to the Lord, bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day.
Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples.
For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods.
For all the gods of the peoples are worthless idols, but the Lord made the heavens.
Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary.
Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts.
Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth.
Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. Yes, the world is established. It shall never be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity.
Let the heavens be glad, and let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar, and all that fills it.
Let the field exult, and everything in it.
Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth.
He will judge the world in righteousness, and the peoples in his faithfulness.
The second reading comes from Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people, training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions, and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age, waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession who are zealous for good works. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. We rise for our Christmas gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the second chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Children that are present, to come over up front for a children's message. Good-looking Christmas kids, I think. Merry Christmas. Yeah, you probably noticed that I brought one of our little packages here, right? Yeah, and some people thought when we were passing those out last Saturday, they thought, oh, it's a gift. We need to open it, right? But in this case, the gift is a present that you hang as an ornament on the tree, reminding us that Jesus is the ultimate gift. Yes, the ultimate gift that goes on and on. You guys like getting presents?
Yeah.
Yeah, most people like to get presents, you know. This one, I noticed, had a pretty bow on it, and it said, Merry Christmas. And then usually, before you go opening up a package, what do you want to look at? The name on there?
Yeah.
Yeah, because you might be opening, like, Marjean's present, right? Or you might be opening Dan's present, you know. It might be Samia's present. So we got to make sure that if we're going to open a present, and you do want to open a present, right? Or do you want to just kind of keep it all in its own wrapping? You know, it says here, to Emmanuel, and it says from God. Huh. You think God would want us just to admire his package? What do you think God would want us to do with his gift?
Open it.
Open it. Unwrap it, right? Yeah, you can unwrap a gift. Let's see. Take that off. Now, when you open a gift, you ever, like, shake it or wonder, I wonder what's in it? You ever do that? Yeah?
I guess.
Sometimes, you like to guess? Yeah? I mean, sometimes you kind of hold it up, you think, but this is pretty. This is hard paper to look through. You know what I mean? Sometimes you can look through the paper, right? You know? But in this case here, well, you know, some people like to open it really slow and careful. Other people like to just tear it open, right? You know what I'm talking about, huh? Oh, it's a box. Ah, what do you think's inside of here? Huh?
Shoes.
Shoes. Maybe there's a pair of shoes. Ah. Whoa, now what do?
We unwrap it.
We keep unwrapping it?
Yeah.
Okay, we keep unwrapping it, all right. I thought it was a pair of shoes. Oh, no, it's a game. You like playing games, right? Yeah, good, it's a game. So we can open it up and we can, wait a minute.
Another one?
Huh?
Another one?
Now what do?
We
keep unwrapping it and we open it?
Yeah.
Ah, maybe there's some money in here.
Money?
What would we do with money?
Put in the church offering.
Oh, we could put in the church offering. That's a great idea. Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Now, you heard that, right? That a kid would say that. An adult might not say that, but a kid would say that, right? Okay. Oh. What is it?
Necklace of a cross.
It's a cross, and it's a necklace, which means we should do what with it?
Put it on.
Put it on and wear it, right? I have one here, right? So you wear a necklace, you put a cross on here, right? Yeah? You're acolyting tonight. You can wear that one. Now, let me ask you a question. At Christmas, do you expect to get a cross?
No.
I mean, when you think about the cross, you don't think about Christmas, right? What time of the year do we usually think about the cross? Do you know? Easter? When do we think? What?
Easter.
Yeah, right before Easter. What happens? Good Friday. What happens? Jesus dies on the cross. Oh, my goodness. Who wants to talk about somebody dying on a cross? It's Christmas, right? But did you know that an angel came to Joseph and said, Joseph, Mary's going to have a baby, and you're going to call his name Jesus? Because the name Jesus means he saves. He will save his people from their sins. So already at Christmas time, God was giving us a gift that we need to keep unwrapping and unwrapping and unwrapping because it's the gift of the cross. And it's on the cross that Jesus dies for our sins. And it's on the cross that Jesus saves us. And that's why Jesus was born, you know. That's why Jesus was born, so that he could save us from our sins. So, do you think that God wants us to keep unwrapping this gift? Huh? Every day we keep unwrapping Jesus, right? He unwraps us from sin, and then we can unwrap him, and we can share his love with everybody, can't we? Let's pray together. We'll do a repeat prayer, okay? Dear Jesus, thanks for unwrapping me from sin and death. Help me to get wrapped up in your love for me and my love for you. Happy birthday, Jesus. Amen. Thanks for coming up. And the gift goes on. I mean, I suppose what I should have had is about 20 or 30 packages inside of each other. But then you might have thought, this is so tedious. Why do we do this? We came to church so that we could celebrate Christmas. And what's with all this unwrapping? Unwrapping from sin and death. What's all this unwrapping? I mean, let's get to our presents, huh? Let's get to our gifts. Because isn't that what Christmas is all about? Me? And what I get? Or is it actually the birthday of Jesus and the real presence of God? I don't know if you've ever played this game, but sometimes you get invited to a party, and they call it a white elephant exchange. You know, everybody brings something, right?
I did that at my Girl Scout meeting.
Yeah, and you usually it's something you don't like, something you don't want, something you just as soon get rid of, right? But some families have a tradition, actually, where you don't know if, like, Uncle Bob or Cousin Jez, or you don't know who's going to get it, but, like, for dozens of years, this kind of strange, interesting gift kind of just gets passed on, regifted, kind of wrapped and unwrapped, and the gift goes on. Well, maybe, perhaps, but sometimes people don't even unwrap the gifts, or maybe get lost somewhere in a pile of something, or it gets opened and it's like, you know, I'm not really interested in this. This isn't exactly what I was expecting or wanting, and so maybe the gift gets returned. Oh, maybe it gets exchanged for something more desirable, desirable. And the gift goes on? Hopefully. Last Friday, I did what I oftentimes do. I walked my granddaughter, Nora, to the bus stop. Usually I would have had Scarlett there too, but Scarlett hadn't been feeling good. And so it was just me and Nora, and then there's about a dozen kids at the bus stop. And they're all lined up there, and they're all talking about how Friday is the last day of school, a long week, and then winter break. Can't call it Christmas break. We got to be politically correct, you know. So winter break, and what's this stuff about Christmas? And it's fun when they're all elementary kids, and then you get to, as an adult, just kind of listen in. And one little boy says, well, it's really all about presents. And somebody else says, well, you know, like trees and Santa and lights. And somebody else says, well, it's really about getting and giving. And then one little girl says, well, I think Christmas is really about being nice and kind to people. And then a boy rolls his eyes and he says, "It's the birthday of Jesus, for crying out loud." I thought, yeah. And so this one girl who had said, "Well, I think it's all about being nice and kind to people," I said, "You know, that reminds me of a song. You know, I've been doing this for several years, so you get to know these kids, right? They're neighborhood kids." I said, "That reminds me of a song," I said, "by a friend of mine, Jay Beach, 1985. Give my gifts to the little ones. Give my gifts to the poor. Share your time with the lonely ones. That means so much more. A stable was my birthing place. I wanted you to see. When you give my gifts to the little ones, it's a birthday gift to me." But the girl who said, "I think Christmas is all about being kind and nice," she kept interrupting me. And she kept saying to me, "Stop, stop." That's what she said. She said, "Stop." And I could tell right away she was bothered. You know what she was bothered about? She didn't want Christmas to be all about Jesus. A first grader. And already the birth of Jesus is offensive. And the gift goes on. Well, maybe. We'll see. I mean, maybe you're not into wrapping and unwrapping and gifting and re-gifting. Maybe it's too much work to have to keep spreading Christmas around and telling everybody about Jesus. I mean, wouldn't it be a lot easier just to say, just be a good person. Just believe in something or someone. Because, well, it doesn't matter anyway, right? I mean, did you see, like, in the paper, you got people that are, they're hybrids, you know, they're celebrating Islam and Christianity together, and they're celebrating Hanukkah and Christianity. I mean, it's just, it's really an interesting thing how this world we live in, we just don't like Jesus being who he is. And so it's a lot easier if we can kind of reshape him, refashion him into something that would make us feel a little better about ourselves. There is a first grade teacher, she teaches at Gage Elementary, had an idea. You know, there's a lot of poor kids there. Actually, there's a lot of kids at Gage that aren't used to getting gifts. They don't even know how to wrap a gift. And when somebody gives them something, they're really tenuous because usually the gift gets taken back and it's not for keeps. And so this teacher, she applied for a Thrive in Action Team grant, got $250, has a couple of daughters that are in Girl Scouts and thought, you know, we can't call it 5 days of Christmas, but maybe we could call it like, you know, 5 days of love. Do you know how much you're loved? And so get one, give one. And on Black Friday, anybody here shop at Old Navy? Not very many, huh? Oh. They had these adorable socks. They're just precious. They're absolutely amazing. $5.99 a piece, but on Black Friday only, 77 cents. Limit 10. So this teacher had to get a bunch of her friends to go there and to, like, buy out the store and get all of these amazing socks. And so a week ago, Monday, you know, this last week, these 5 days of love, you know you're loved, right? You know how much we love you? The first day they got a pair of these beautiful socks. And some of the kids, I mean, they had their ratty socks, you know, the ones that have holes in them, you know, that, I mean, they're not new. And maybe they don't even match. And so they were taking them off or they were putting the new ones on top of the old ones. And they were afraid that by the end of the day, they were going to have to give him back. And then, lo and behold, here's a second pair, and now we're going to wrap these, and here's what I want you to do. You got one, now I want you to give one. Give it away to a friend or somebody. Imagine that. Every single day this happened. And there was, like, coloring books, and there was, like, paints, and there was markers and Play-Doh and wonderful gifts. Now, Here's what I imagine. Can you imagine a child that perhaps saw this and said, huh, I know what this is all about. This is all about Christmas, isn't it? This is all about Jesus, isn't it? And the gift goes on. And on and on and on when someone is able to unwrap the love and know that the name above every name is Jesus. And the gift goes on. Now, in those days, when Caesar Augustus was the big cheese, and Quirinius was a governor of Syria, in those days, it happened that Caesar said, we're going to register people. We're going to keep track of people. We're going to know where everybody lives. We're going to tax those people. We're going to control those people. We're going to have them under our feet. And Joseph, who came from the family tree of King David, I mean, this was not, if you feel like getting registered, this was compulsory. It was an obligation. You had to do it. And so here's Mary, almost 9 months pregnant, and they have to go about 80 miles so that they can go down to Bethlehem, the city of David, and be registered because Caesar has commanded it. Now, you know, right, Caesar Augustus, you know that he thought he was a god, a son of a god. You know that. In fact, if you find some old coins, and I have one of those denarii, you can take a denarius will have Caesar's face on it, and then it will say, Caesar is Lord. Caesar is Lord. So one might, if they weren't familiar with history, think, oh, I know why Jesus was born in Bethlehem, because the government calls the shots. But if someone actually believes the Bible, the Word of God, has actually read it, they'd say, wait a minute, this has nothing to do with Caesar Augustus. Centuries earlier, God spoke through the prophet Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, and said, Bethlehem is where Messiah is going to be born. I've decided it. God decides it, not Caesar Augustus. And who gets to be the first ones to hear the good news of great joy? Not the fat cats, not the wealthy ones, not the ones that live high off the hog. Shepherds, farmers, I mean, I grew up on a farm. And if you take care of animals like pigs or dairy cattle, etc., you get stuff on the bottom of your shoes. You track it into the house. The first time that I was in Lake Lillian and Joshua was born, I remember we went out to a farm, the Gilberts. We come home, and Joshua's just a little tyke, and his mother said, get down in the basement and get those clothes off. Oh, man, we reeked. That just happens. These were shepherds. They took care of stinky sheep, and they didn't, they didn't keep the Sabbath. They weren't particularly well-educated. They weren't particularly ethical. And God decides, I think I'm going to share this good news with the little ones, with the insignificant ones. Our God is amazing. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory, glory, glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Don't be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news of a great joy, for to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is, don't miss this, folks. I missed this for a long time. Who is? Christ the Lord. Oh, wait a minute. Did you hear how the story began? Caesar Augustus, who claimed to be Lord, who claimed to be in charge, who thought he called the shots, he's a pretend. He's a pretender, folks. A Savior, Jesus, who is Christ the Lord. You see? Christmas. Imagine that. Maybe a little first grader at Gage who becomes a Christmas angel and who says, I know what this is all about. It's about Christmas, isn't it? You can't fool me. You can call it 5 days of love. You can call it get one, give one. This is all about Jesus, isn't it? Or the boy in the bus line who says, it's the birthday of Jesus, for crying out loud. You know, some people actually know what Christmas is all about. Maybe that's why we need to make sure we keep some children around us at all times. Behold, don't be afraid. Good news, great joy for you. A sign wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger. Do you really believe that Jesus wants to stay wrapped up in a box? A little feed box? That he wants to stay wrapped up in swaddling cloths? Or do you really believe that Jesus wants to be unwrapped? He wants to unwrap you and me from our sin. He wants to unwrap us from death. He wants to be wrapped up in our hearts so that every breath we take is for his praise and his glory. I want to tell you a story. A pastor by the name of Chuck Paulson, he's retired now. He's down in Arizona. His dad was a pastor, Norway Lutheran Church, over by Wind Lake, rural area, not too far from like Milwaukee in Wisconsin. And Chuck said, I was in seminary. I was going to be a pastor like my dad. And it was Christmas time, so on Christmas Eve, my wife and I, we left St. Paul, Minnesota, Luther Seminary. We went to Wind Lake, to Norway Lutheran Church, Christmas Eve, candlelight. It was amazing. And then worship got done, and my wife and my mom and my siblings, Chuck said, they were heading over to the parsonage. A little bit too far to walk, but you could see it from the church. And so Chuck said, I stayed with my dad, and we were greeting people in the sanctuary, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas. And then pretty soon they were all gone, and so we shut off the lights, we locked the door, we went out the front, and right there at the entryway was two girls, teenagers. Chuck asked the teenagers, what's up? Are you waiting for somebody? And they said, yeah, we're waiting for our brother, but he's been having trouble with his car. Well, they reopened the church door, turned the lights on. They said, you can't stand out here in the cold. Come on in. But 5 minutes turned into 10 minutes, and then eventually almost a half hour, and Chuck said, I found myself getting irritated. I mean, for crying out loud, why did they have to come to this church on Christmas Eve? I mean, I want to be home with my family. My mom made all kinds of goodies, and we should be sitting there and opening presents. But he was trying to be hospitable, and pretty soon, as he kept opening the door and checking, here comes a car, the lights are there. Ah, good. Goes out there, the girls get in the car stalls. The good thing is, it was up on a hill, so they pushed it, and so they got the car going. Ah, yes. And so Chuck is saying, now we can go home. I mean, a long delay, kind of discouraging, but they got in the car, they're driving over to the parsonage, you know, it's close by, they're driving into the driveway, and it's a beautiful clear night, you know, with all the stars, and so you can see quite a distance. And they notice that there's a car with the lights blinking down by an intersection, and they're going, you don't think that's the car of the brother who just picked up his two sisters, do you? Oh, we better check it out. So Chuck says, Dad said, we better check it out. So they did. They went driving over there. Sure enough, there's the car, and here is the brother and the two sisters, and they're trying to push it to a gas station. And so Chuck and his dad, the pastor, right, they pushed the car. They got it to the gas station, but it was closed. They pushed it another mile to another gas station that was bigger, but it was closed. I mean, it's Christmas Eve, right? So they push it into the parking lot of a grocery store. And Chuck's dad and Chuck, they said, well, hop in. Chuck's dad said, I know a guy in my congregation. He's an auto mechanic. Let's go over there. They went driving there. He said, yeah, but I can't do it tonight or tomorrow. They said, well, he says, where is it? It's over there in the grocery parking lot. So the older brother, he gives him the keys, and Chuck says, oh, man, I just knew at that moment we had to take him to their house. He said, I was so frustrated, so angry, so irritated. Why? Why did they have to choose to come to my dad's church on Christmas Eve, for crying out loud? So even though he was frustrated, as they drove them to their house, the brother, his two sisters, he carried on some small talk. You know small talk, right? You know what I mean by small talk? Meaningless, but it's talk. And so he said, Chuck goes, he says, so I imagine when you get home, you're going to be having Christmas, celebrating Christmas with your family. And the oldest of the two teenagers, the girls, she says, no. My dad doesn't believe in Jesus. My dad doesn't believe in Christmas. And Chuck says, well, but you've at least got a Christmas tree, right? And the older sister says, no. No, we don't. Well, Chuck says, what do you do then to celebrate Christmas? This is a pastor's kid who's a pastor at Luther Seminary over 60 years ago. What do you do to celebrate Christmas then? And you know what that older teenage girl said? You know what she said? We had our Christmas in church tonight. And Chuck said, I felt so ashamed. I felt so ashamed of myself, thinking that Christmas was all about me. Chuck is retired now, but he said that he never in all his years of ministry ever forgot the lesson that God taught him on that Christmas Eve. Maybe it takes a little child in the bus line. Maybe it takes a first grader at Gage. Maybe it takes a child to wake us up so that we can understand once again. It's the birthday of Jesus, for crying out loud. You know? Give my gifts to the little ones. Give my gifts to the poor. Share your time with the lonely ones. That means so much more. A stable was my birthing place. I wanted you to see. When you give your gifts to the least of these, it's a birthday gift to me. You see, the birthday child is supposed to get the gifts. And so Jesus shares his day and his presence with us. Don't be afraid. Behold, I bring you good news of a great joy. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Caesar is not Lord. Jesus is Lord, your Savior, your God, the ultimate gift who unwraps you and me from sin and death and invites you and me to keep unwrapping it every day and sharing it. And then the gift goes on and on in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.